Let's recall what vector spaces and norms are and see some examples of these. Here's the definition of a vector space, and it's quite a long definition, but most of these properties are quite natural. We say that a vector space, sometimes a vector space over V, over R, I'll get back to what that means, is a set V equipped with two operations. So you're allowed to add elements of V and multiply by scalars. By scalars, we mean usually mean real numbers. Sometimes if it's said over C, complex numbers, scalars would refer to complex numbers. Usually we talk about real numbers here. So these operations, addition and multiplication by scalars, satisfy the following. So first of all, addition is commutative. You can flip the order of addition. Addition is associative, so it doesn't matter which order you add in. If you multiply a vector, so we call the elements of V vectors, so they can be elements of Rn, what you might usually think of as vectors, or but there are lots of other examples of vector spaces, such as spaces consisting of functions. So whenever you have a vector u and you multiply by the scalar 1, you get u back again. Next, there is some element which we call 0 in V. It's usually quite obvious what that element is when you're given a vector space, which satisfies this equality, which is also quite natural. Next, there is something called the additive inverse. So an element for every vector u, there is something called minus u with a property that whenever you add it to u, you get 0. And 0 means this 0. Next, some properties about multiplication by scalars. Multiplication by scalars is also associative in this sense. And multiplication by scalars is distributive. So you can multiply in the scalar. Let's see, I've already mentioned this one. And yes, so we also have this form of distributivity of multiplication by scalars. So whenever you multiply by a sum of two scalars, that's equal to the vector sum of the corresponding products. Some examples are the following. We have R with the usual addition and multiplication by scalars, which is R themselves. Rn, we have P, bold Pn. This usually means the set of all polynomials of order at most n. So order is 0, 1, 2, and up to n. And last, P, which is the set of all polynomials on defined on the real line. And you should stop and think about what we mean by multiplication by scalars and addition, and what is the 0 element, and so on for all of these cases. Next, a vector space in itself is not that interesting because it doesn't have any built-in, or it doesn't have much built-in structure. Importantly, given two vectors, there is no way to tell how far apart these vectors are, if they're very close or far apart. That role is handled by norms. So to define a norm, we need a vector space over R. A norm is a function. We write it like this. So this dot notation here means that this is where you insert the object that you want to evaluate the norm of. So you insert an element of V, a vector, and it gives you a non-negative real number. So this function has to satisfy three important properties. They're positivity, homogeneity, and the triangle inequality. Positivity is simply that the norm of a vector is never negative. And the norm of a vector can only be 0 when u is the zero vector. So when we write zero here, we mean the zero vector. Sometimes this is written as a zero with an arrow on top, but it's usually clear from the context that we're talking about the zero vector and not the number zero. Homogeneity means that whenever you take the norm of a scalar multiplied by a vector, then you can take the scalar outside at the cost of putting absolute values on the scalar. And the triangle inequality is this one. So you can think of this as saying that if you start at some point, you first go along the vector u and then along the vector v, you arrive at some point, that the distance that you have traversed by doing that is always less than what you would, always greater than what you would get if you went directly to that point. And finally, we say that whenever we have a vector space with some norm on it, we call it a normed vector space. So a normed vector space is a vector space with a norm on it. Now, and this is important, how should you think about vectors and its norms? First of all, when we write the norm of u, we think of this as the length of u. So in this course, I'll often say the length of a vector instead of the norm of a vector, because this is how you should think about it. Next, and even more importantly, whenever you see an expression of this form, the norm of one vector minus another, you should think of this internally as the distance between u and v. You can write u minus v as minus v plus u, which is the same as minus v minus u. So, and the minus you can take outside, sort of. The minus doesn't change the norm. So this is exactly the same as the norm of v minus u. So the distance between u and v is the same as the distance between v and u. Okay, so the moral is, whenever you see something like this, norm of a difference between two vectors, you should say internally distance between those two vectors and not norm u minus v. Think of it as the distance. Some examples, first the trivial one, well, the vector space is v and the norm of u is absolute value of u. We often call this the canonical norm on R. The word canonical means that it sort of has a more important role than all other norms. There are infinitely many norms on this vector space, but this carries a special role, and usually we use this norm when we talk about the real line as a vector space. Another example is Euclidean space Rn, together with this norm, so the square root of the squares of the components of the vector. As you know very well, this is the Euclidean norm, and this measures the distance between zero and u, and distance, we then think of this as the distance of the straight line between zero and u. So it measures the length of this line segment. So again, this is called the canonical norm on Rn. And if you go back to the previous page and you put n equals one here, then you get precisely the absolute value, square root of the square of the number. Another example of a norm on Rn is what is called, in some cases, the little L1 norm or the taxicab norm or the Manhattan norm. So the way to compute this is to take the sum of the absolute values of each component. So in R2, in this example here, you have a vector sitting here, and the norm is the sum of this line segment and this line segment. And it's called the taxicab norm or Manhattan norm because if you've been to Manhattan, you know that streets are aligned in a grid. So in order to go from one point to another, you have to walk along the grid. So the distance from A to B is not the straight line, because then you would have to go through buildings. You have to walk along the or drive a taxi along streets. Finally, another example is, again, the vector spaces Rn with usual addition and multiplication by scalars. And the norm is the maximum of the components. This is also a norm, and it's called the little L infinity norm. So again, if you have, in this example, in R2, you have a vector sitting here, you compute the length of this component and the length of this component. And clearly, this one is the longest one. So the L infinity norm of this vector U is the length of this segment. In other words, the first component of the vector U. If you have any questions or comments to this video, then please don't hesitate to get in contact.